This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3475 for Friday the 26th of November 2021. Today's show is entitled, How I Watch Everything Using Open Source Software. It is hosted by Minix, and is about 15 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, using LibreELEC, Kodi, a tuner, and a Raspberry Pi to create a great media center.
Hello, this is Minix, and today I'll be talking about how I watch everything using open source software. I got started using Kodi, I believe, on an Android TV box, a cheap Android TV box with AM Logic chipset, and with that I had a USB hard drive, external hard drive, hooked up to the TV box, and I would just watch shows and movies from the hard drive on there. And I wanted to upgrade, and at this time Pine 64 had come out with the Rock Pro 64, and I liked this device because it had a PCIe slot, so you could use really fast storage if you wanted to, or you could hook up whatever you wanted. So I bought the adapter for the Rock Pro 64 as well as the machine, and bought a NVMe drive to go with the adapter, and that's what I use for my storage. And at this time I switched from Android to LibreELEC. And LibreELEC is its own OS, and it's a fork of OpenELEC, and its tagline is just enough OS for Kodi, which is basically all it is a few open source tools like BusyBox and a couple other things, but mainly just to load Kodi. Kodi is an open source application that is a fork of Xbox Media Center, XBMC, which you used to could install on your Xbox or your PC, and it gradually became Kodi, which is what it is today. So I installed Kodi on the Rock Pro 64, and I dumped my cable subscription and started experimenting with over-the-air TV again, in which I hadn't done in years, and I bought a TV tuner card, a Hophog WinTV Duel, I believe is what it's called, and so you could watch one episode of a show or one program while you're recording another, which is a pretty cool feature. And it's the same tuner I use today, and it's basically just a USB dongle with a coax on the other end. Now it only enables 1080p over the air, which is fine for now. There's not a lot of 4K OTA programming, but I've had it for several years now, and it's been a great little tuner, and I can recommend it if you can find one. So I had the LibreELEC loaded on the Rock Pro 64, and then I had the Hophog dual tuner plugged into USB 3, and then I bought a nice antenna that hooks up to the tuner card via coax. And I was able to use Kodi to tune programs in, and it worked very nicely. I used a server called TV Headend, which is what I use today. And it's a pretty amazing piece of software that integrates with Kodi quite nicely. So what it does is enables you to decode over-the-air transmissions, and also has a built-in web server where you can watch recorded programs. It has a PVR, or you can watch live TV over the internet, and I decided to proxy that through an Nginx proxy to a subdomain, and so now wherever I'm at, if I have internet service, I can watch live TV, and it works out really good, or I can watch what I've recorded. Now you need TV head-in server, and then you need TV head-in client, and the client can be whatever other machine you're watching, you have Kodi installed in. Like, I have an Android TV in the bedroom where I have Kodi installed, but just a TV head-in client, and it connects to the server via IP address and then a password and username. And so I can also access all my recorded shows there and watch live TV. So as long as you have the address of your TV head-in server, whatever TV you want to watch TV on, or media box or whatever, if you have the TV head-in client installed, you can dial into your server and just watch it from your server. So it works out really good that way. TV head-in also has a really nice web interface with a guide. So you can program it to record shows in the future, or you can program it to record all of a certain show that you like. So say every Wednesday night it'll start recording whatever show, and it has a ton of features I won't go into here, but you can look at the documentation for TV head-in. It's not exactly beginner friendly. It has a little bit of a learning curve, but it's definitely worth it, and it's the best one I've found since Myth TV back in the day on Ubuntu I was using. So yeah, it's great. And also there's a lot of different apps for iPhone and iOS that connect to your TV head-in server, and you can watch live TV that way if you don't want to watch it through the browser. So that was on the ROG Pro 64. And eventually, support began to wane for the ROG Pro 64 in the Libre Elec world, and I noticed that releases were kind of lagging behind, so I switched to a Raspberry Pi 4, which is what I have now. And the Raspberry Pi 4 is nice in that it is well supported, so there's lots of documentation because a lot of people own it, and so Libre Elec really works hard to support it as much as they can. I would say a downside is that you do not have access to the GPU for decoding within Libre Elec. So it's all on your CPU. It's all up to your CPU. Why that is, I'm not sure. I haven't really investigated it. So I will notice sometimes, watching live TV mainly, that I'll get some skipping, some frame skipping, stuff like that, just because it takes a lot to decode an HD television show over the air. And it just doesn't, if you don't have a GPU available to do that, you're going to notice some irregularities like that. But other than that, it's a great machine. That doesn't happen with every broadcast signal, but some of them. So just a heads up about that. So that's how I watch TV. Kodi also has different add-ons, is what they're called, for if you want to listen to radio, local radio, you can access it through your WinTV tuner, and depending on how good your antenna is, you can pick up quite a few stations. I pick up stuff from neighboring states sometimes when the atmosphere is just right, so it's pretty cool in that way. There's a million different add-ons for Kodi. If you've ever experimented with it in the past, you probably know that. Some of the ones I use are the TV head-in server and client, the radio add-on, and it also has an add-on to play like retro games, like 16-bit games and stuff like that, which is kind of fun. And then it also acts as like a media server, so if you have shows or movies or things like that on storage, You can watch them through Kodi, and it's pretty good about keeping up with metadata for shows and things like that. And it connects to TVDB, which I believe is TV database, to pull in your metadata. So radio, TV, PVR service is great. Now, one thing I also do with Kodi, which is kind of a gray area legally, I guess, even though it's not against the law, is I use a debrid service, which a debrid service is basically a web hosting provider that, how do I explain it? I guess you could say that they are kind of an intermediary between you and different torrent sites and different streaming sites and things like that. So like here is an example of how it would work. I would install an add-on within Kodi that's not in the official repo, but you can do a web search for Kodi add-ons, streaming, video, whatever. And you'll find one of these add-ons, and the one I'm using is, I probably don't want to say. It's open source, though, but you can always email me if you want to know. So what this add-on does is connect to your debrid account, and the add-on also has functionalities built into it where you have search functions, so you can search for TV shows, movies, things like that. Which are also connected to the TV database. So basically any movie that was ever made, any show that it was ever aired, you can probably find it on there. Now, whether you'll be able to watch it or not is another is a whole nother story, because it, depending on how popular it was, it may have never been saved on the internet as a torrent or a streaming file or something like that. But for the most part, I've found 90% of the things I want to watch I can find through an add-on that's connected to my debrid account. There's many different debrid accounts. They all range in, you know, pricing and functionality and things like that. And with my particular debrid account, I think I pay $40 a year, and I think I get 2 terabytes of storage. Now, you can stream as much as you want. It's unlimited streaming from the debrid service. But if, say, you're saving torrents to it and for later, then you only get like 2 terabytes of storage, which is fine because I don't really save anything. But it's also a good intermediary if you want to download a torrent but you don't want to get dinged by your ISP. You can just copy and paste the torrent magnet URL into the debrid service webpage, and it'll download it for you, and then you access it via HTTPS. So the only thing your ISP would know is that you're accessing the debrid service, but because it goes through HTTPS, it's just like you're accessing your bank site or something like that. Like, they wouldn't be able to see exactly what information you're accessing. So as far as I know, it's not illegal, but it is kind of a gray area there. Now, I do have other streaming services that I watch, but ever since Netflix kind of focused on their own content, they took away a lot of the cool cult shows and movies that I'm really interested in, and I guess they figure, why waste bandwidth on things that the majority of people don't watch? So having access to the debrid service kind of fills in that gap, especially on like cult cinema and foreign movies and things like that that aren't really easily accessible. So you're not downloading any torrent to your machine. All you're doing is streaming from the debrid service, so you don't hold any local data. It may be cached, but it goes away once you exit the add-on. So you can download through the add-on, but I don't. So my days of hoarding movies and TV shows on terabytes of hard disks have been over for several years now that I've been using a debrid service. So it saves a lot of storage for me because I like to watch lots of shows and movies and things like that. So that is what I do to watch all my media using open source software. So far, this has worked for me for quite a few years, and I don't see anything changing that. That's about it. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.